Ashley from Our Splendid Life.
Hi, it's Laura from Millennial Stepmom.
And we are so excited to welcome you to Combo Moms, a podcast for blended families.
Each week, we'll be sharing tools and resources for your step family, along with stories and experiences from viewers like you. Welcome back for episode 5 of Combo Moms. We hope you guys had a great week. My stepson is with his mom this week, so it has been quiet around here. This weekend, we have hockey playoffs, and that'll take up most of our weekend, actually. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Wow.
It's times like these, though, that I have to say I'm fortunate that we are at the point with co-parenting where we've established a positive relationship among the four of us between mom, stepdad, me, and dad. And so for that reason, we can sit together at the games and be social, because during hockey season, and I know there's some other stepmoms out there that do hockey, you spend so much time with the parents. So
yeah,
you see them all the time. Yeah. So I will say that I'm fortunate about that. And what about you, Ashley?
Yeah, I love that. Oh my gosh. Well, I am literally reorganizing our entire house coming this weekend, and I'm so excited. And normally I realized she hasn't been here since last summer, which is insane. Normally she comes out for Christmas, and we went there for Christmas. And so it's been such a long time since she's been here. And so we're moving her into her own like guest suite downstairs, which I know she's going to love, but there's it's our office right now. And so there's a lot of stuff in there that I have to move out. And it's doing all of that with Nellie has been such a handful. She won't let me set her down. And so I've just been carrying her everywhere. It's insane, but so excited.
That's awesome. So do you want to touch a little bit about, what you think is, just the transition of having her come in, come back from, from being at her other parents, and just what you're expecting with all that?
For sure. Yeah. That transition is always really hard. I think we're so excited to see her, and she's excited to see us, but she brings a totally different dynamic to our family when she's here. Like, especially now that we're entering those teenage years, it's like, it's really good for a few days, and then you can tell when she's ready to go back. It's like our rules are totally different. And then once that excitement wears off, it's like, okay, time's up. Like, I think it's just one of those things that no one really admits, but like everyone thinks about it. Like, okay, is it time for her to go back yet? Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I love her so much, and I love when she's here, but there are just those moments when, things are overwhelming for everyone. And I think especially even when you're adjusting to kids coming over, like when school's out, there's just something to be said for like the time difference and just there's a lot. And so
teen years too. Like, I even feel like with my stepson too, he's starting to get closer to that age. He's not quite there yet, but closer. I mean, 11. And, sometimes he has a little bit of moods. Last time he was here, he was getting upset about something, forgetting his homework folder. I think I brought this up in the last episode. I've kind of learned with him, that's worked best for me, is to just like let him vent.
For sure.
For me. But I remember being a teenager when I was a kid too.
Oh, you do? Yeah. See, and it's so funny because like I think that happens to any kid, whether you're in a blended family or not. Like, I was even gonna say that for my own kids, like with Matt, with Carter and Claire, whenever they have a long weekend where they're off school, like they just had a 3-day weekend. Literally by Monday, I was like, can we find someone who wants to co-parent these kids? Like, like, can we share custody of like our own kids with someone else so that I get a break? Because like anytime they're out of school for so long, I think they just get, I don't know, like it's so hard. And so,
I totally get that. I get that. I feel like everyone needs a break sometimes. And I think it makes us better parents, right? When we're able to a little bit of space in that time. And like with your kids, when they're at school, you kind of get that time.
Yeah.
And yep. when Ellie's napping, I personally feel like when my stepson goes back to his other house, it's an opportunity for me to recharge. And yes. then I feel like I'm showing up better for him as a stepmom when he is back with us, because I can, even just like simple things around the house, like getting his room organized or getting the house organized. Like I always like for him to come home with like a freshly
same
maintenance yeah. house.
Right.
And I know that's kind of what you're doing right now this weekend.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a transition. And I feel like when we try to just make it as smooth as we can for them.
For sure.
And but speaking of transitions, that is actually our big topic this week, and in particular, long distance visitation, which is much more common than a lot of people might think. Right?
Yeah.
Ashley, did you want to talk about that?
Yeah, no, yeah. I feel like there aren't very many resources out there for people trying to figure out the long distance visitation thing. And especially for me, when I got started and we moved across the country, it was so hard and I felt so alone. And I really wanted to take some time on this episode to like share the tips and tricks that I've learned over the past 6 years of flying literally across the country. I feel like we live the farthest away from each other as we possibly could. It's like we live in the Northwest and she lives in the Southeast, and it's a long, super long distance visitation. So yeah.
Yeah, it's a long journey for sure. You guys definitely have that. But
right.
it does seem like you guys have gotten it down in terms of the planning and whatnot, which is something that, Ashley, you sort of go into in this interview we have coming up. We have a special guest this week who is in a military family. And so she has had to figure that out, which is adds just even more complication to the mix.
Right.
And she yeah. has had... She has so many great tips on saving money on airfare, organizing a long distance schedule, and transitioning back and forth.
Yeah. And we also talk about transitioning, even if you're not long distance, and just mm-hmm. the pressure that you put on your kids. I think when you're going from house to house, it's really hard to find that structure and that balance and to manage your own emotions as a parent. And not let those project onto your kids, because so many times I think as parents, we get really, you know, I especially get really sad when Ellie Kate is leaving, and I don't want her to ever feel like she has to be sad because I'm sad. And so
right.
really shifting that perspective, and we kind of get into talking about that a little bit. And yeah, so I'm excited. I'm actually this week, I'm interviewing Megan Jane, who is another mama, and she started out as an Instagram friend. And it's so funny because we turned real life friends and we text and we met up in person.
So awesome.
And yeah, so I'm really excited to share what we talk about on this week's episode. So let's go ahead and get started with that. Hey, everyone. I'm so excited to welcome on the podcast this week, Megan Jane. And we actually, to give you a little bit of backstory, I met Megan through Instagram a couple years ago. She reached out and we jumped on a coaching call, and we have a lot in common. We've stayed connected that whole time. And it's actually really funny because I ended up going to Rise Business Conference last year, and she messaged me on Instagram when she saw that I posted that I was going to be there, and she was actually there at the same time. And so we met up, we talked, and it was so fun to have that personal connection. So you guys, welcome Megan to the podcast.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Yay. Okay. I love that you're here. I love that we are on talking about long distance visitation, because I think that so many people struggle with this and they don't have really anyone to talk to. I know at least for me, I felt really alone in my situation. So yeah, what do you feel like the biggest struggle for you was in just navigating that? And how did you... how did you meet me? I would love to hear how you found me, because I know you reached out to me first. So
yeah, so it's funny. It's gosh, Instagram is so funny that way. Like, I know that some people yeah. can see it as a frustrating social media tool, but I find it so amazing, because if without that, I wouldn't have met you. And
yes,
who would have thought we would wind up at the same conference?
Like, right?
The irony there.
I know.
But a friend of mine, so we have been co-parenting for, I believe, 11 years now. It's kind of crazy. Insane. Time flies. But so we went from a situation where we had 50-50 and we're living in the same county for 7 years. And right. then my husband's career moved us all the way across the country.
Because you're military, right? So you're...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We're a military family, and right. We were on the West Coast. And then his job moved us all the way to the East Coast. And so a friend of mine who knew that we were going through such a big transition, she actually sent me your Instagram handle and was like, "Hey, like, I think you two have a lot in common. You should reach out and talk to her." So like, I went to your page. I was like, "Oh my God, our girls are like so close in age." And just being a blended family, period, like can feel a lonely journey. And I was like, "Oh my gosh." And she deals with long distance visitation. I'm going to ask her all the things. And I love then it. Fast forward, and here we are.
Yeah. And so I think one of the best things about connecting with people, even just like if it's through messages or whether it's a call or however you connect with someone on Instagram, it's like you can share things that you wouldn't be posting about to the entire world. You know what I mean? And so really getting on a call with you and then meeting you in person and then texting you all the time, like Megan and I are really good friends now, but we were connected through this social platform. And so it's been amazing to like grow a friendship and have someone who understands what I'm going through. And so, and just to kind of share a little backstory, like on my end, because I know, like you said, you guys were going from 50-50 custody, where you were living close by and you basically moved across the country. We kind of did the same thing, but not really. So we actually lived in South Carolina and then with the intention to move. So kind of all along, we knew that. And as we were developing our paperwork and going through the court process, we really wanted to make sure that the our visitation guidelines were, that we were prepared for that. We were prepared for a long distance move at some. And so we thought it would be a really good solution to have that in mind as we were coming up with things. But it's like, you can't prepare for everything and nothing ends up exactly the way you plan for. And so we moved to Atlanta for 3 years and her dad was in South Carolina. So we actually did 2 weeks, 1 week, and we were meeting halfway. And that was up until basically she started kindergarten. So the timing worked out really well where as soon as she started kindergarten, we moved across the country. But it's funny because I kept thinking it's going to be so much easier once we live further away. And it just got so much harder. Like, is that how you felt about yours or?
Yeah. So yes, definitely. So for us, we, like the prompt for the move was sudden and quick. And, we had 3 months to prepare. And so at that time, in the journey to decide like what was going to happen next, my daughter was going to remain there for that following school year. So the first experience I had with long distance visitation was my daughter remaining where she was on the West Coast with her dad.
Wow.
And her stepmom and their kids, and me moving across the country and her visiting us and me flying there. So for that first year, it was like a combination of me flying and her flying to us. And she flew with my parents to visit.
Okay. Yeah. We did that a lot too, because so right after we moved across the country, EK was in kindergarten. So she was so little. And I just assumed that our paperwork was clear on her being able to fly as an unaccompanied minor. And essentially it was actually pretty ambiguous. And her dad argued that because we have joint decision making, he was allowed to say that he wasn't okay with the decision to let her fly by herself. And that was enough for them to basically not be okay with her flying as an unaccompanied minor. So when we lived in Utah, I thought I would just be putting her on a plane with an unaccompanied minor fee and we would be flying her back and forth 1 weekend a month, which is what we had planned on. But instead, I ended up flying with her and it was crazy. It was so hard. Like, I missed holidays. And so another piece to that is we were supposed to switch holidays and every other and keep to that schedule. But there was another part of our paperwork that also said that I couldn't veto or deny their choice of weekend. And so they said that that over basically was going to override the every other holiday. And so I was gone for Thanksgiving and Christmas between time, you know, we had other kids. And so I was leaving them. And not only that, but she was missing so much school. And we actually, because of the time difference, it was like they were missing out on visitation time too. So I see that from their perspective, but it was like they didn't want her to miss school, but then they didn't want her to be late. And so there was no way to make everyone happy, you know? And so that's kind of what we struggled the most with. And I mean, that's how we also decided to let her live with her dad, because we had some leverage to say at that point, you know, we want her to fly as an unaccompanied minor. That's pretty much the only way we're going to be able to make this happen. And I know your daughter does too. So like, can you maybe speak to other moms who struggle with letting their kids travel alone? Because you said, you know, your daughter flew for a while with grandparents and you were traveling back and forth. When did you make the decision to let her fly by herself?
I think just because it was, I don't know, maybe because for me, it felt sudden. It was just,
yeah,
my parents already were going to fly out here to begin with. So they just decided to line up their trips, you know, to visit their,
right,
you know, the kids that my husband and I have together. So they just decided to line up their trips with one we had worked out for my daughter to fly here to visit. So coincidentally, that just happened to work out. But actually, so a little background, I grew up as a blended family, like with a blended family. So,
yeah.
And my bio dad, he worked for an airlines and lived in a different state.
That's
so
awesome. Okay.
I actually have experienced myself as a child flying unaccompanied. And I remember, honestly, it was like some of the best experiences I ever had.
Right?
Like,
okay. Well,
well, because the flight attendants, like, they gave me all this stuff. Like, I'm pretty sure
they
at one
spoil
point,
them.
Yes. Like, they checked on me a million times.
Yeah.
And I sat in the back by them. And
right.
I mean, really, the only bummer part is just like the way it works is you, the child, the unaccompanied minor, gets delivered to the flight crew, and the flight crew accompanies them to board the plane. They have them sit by the flight attendants.
Yeah.
And then they check on them. And then when they're deplaning, the passengers all come off, and then the flight attendant brings the child out. Sorry. I know you know this, but.
Oh, no, speak to the people who don't know, because it's actually, it's a really cool process. So if you don't understand, then yeah, I think you should definitely explain it.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's like the only part I remember being like, oh, we're the last ones off the plane. And,
awesome.
But to circle back to what you were asking, like when the transition was made, I think it was kind of like, because of the age she was at, by the time, so the first year that we lived on the other side of the country, she lived with her dad and her stepmom and their kids, and I flew there, and then over the summer, a year later, she ended up coming and living with us, and her dad relocated to a different state, which was a shorter distance.
Okay.
So now her flights went from being like, gosh, 6.5 hours, like if it was a one-way, to 4.
That's awesome.
4 hours. So that's about the time when she started flying unaccompanied.
Okay.
And where we're at now, though, is so certain airlines have different policies. So with Southwest Airlines, for instance, she's 13 now. She's at 12. She became what they consider a young traveler, where you no longer pay for an unaccompanied minor fee.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
That. Like, I think, Yeah, I mean, it's great for someone who's seasoned and a traveler. And I do want to just bring this up really quickly, what you said about you being in a blended family, and you're a very frequent flyer, and I'm the same way. I flew a ton. And so speaking to a mom who has a lot of fear about traveling because they never traveled, I think that that's so valid. And I just want to bring that up and just say, like, we might make this sound easy because of our situations, but it's not wrong and it's not bad for you to be worried about your kid traveling as an unaccompanied minor. Like, but I do think that the airlines have these guidelines in place for a reason. And it's like such an organized system. It really, there's, I mean, when I say that, like, it's amazing to me that nothing goes wrong. It's like, they take such good care of these kids and they spoil them. And it's such a good experience. And I think, you know, for someone who might be worried about that or thinking about that, and if you're listening to this podcast and you're not quite sure, you don't feel like your kid is ready to travel alone, one of the things that I actually recommend to people is doing a trial run. And so you still book the child's flight, you book them as an unaccompanied minor, but then book yourself a ticket on that same flight and just see how it goes. Like, take that trip with them and almost be there just in case, because I think that gives you as a mom the peace of mind that you need to let them, you know, fly as an unaccompanied minor. Because like you were saying, okay, so your daughter now is 13 and she's flying like as a young traveler, right?
Yes, actually. So her most recent trip, she actually did her first layover.
That's crazy. By herself.
So yes, by yeah. herself. I mean, we were, you know,
oh, for
in
sure.
touch with her the entire yeah. time. Like, her dad FaceTimed her during her layover, and I had given her her gate connection before she yeah. left. But I mean, we've kind of gone through quite the acceleration.
Well, once they travel so much, though, it's like they think they've got it. Like, they know what they're doing. It's not even a problem. But I, you know, I really look forward to the day that Ellie Cade can travel by herself, because I've just got to say that the unaccompanied minor fee jacks up your ticket price. It's like yes. $150 each way. In fact, I just called today and paid that part of our ticket. So basically, when you're booking flights, you can book the flight without paying for the unaccompanied minor fee. And then as long as you pay it before their actual flight, that's one of the ways that we kind of split it up between our budget. And so I paid it today, and it was like $320 just for her to fly by herself. And I was like, oh man, you know, that's, that's such a hard pill to swallow, you know? And so I kind of want to touch on that though, because that's one of the things I get questions about. We pay for all of her travel expenses, and we always have. And to be completely honest with you guys, when we first moved across the country, we actually had a rental property. So we owned a townhome in Georgia. We kept it and we rented it out. And literally that entire income, $1,000 a month, went straight to plane tickets. Like, we never even saw it. It was $1,000 a month that we were paying, and it's so expensive. And so, yeah, I mean, we actually just started doing Dave Ramsey, which I'm loving. I don't know if any of you guys are Dave Ramsey fans, but the cash envelopes have been really helpful for me to help plan those flights. And it motivates me so much to stay on track with our budget, because I'm like, do I want to eat out, or do I want to have that extra $30 go to a plane ticket? And so realistically, that's sometimes what it comes down to. And so I'd love to know, like, do you have a system to track, like, when are the cheapest flights, or how do you book flights, and what are your best practices for finding these, you know, the better deals?
Well, so the way we have arranged, like, when she visits who, it's all pretty structured each year. So okay. Making sure that that's pretty clear and concise is extremely helpful. For us, I think we started out splitting the costs of the flights.
Yeah.
And it got a little complicated, because that, you know, like, I know it's finances and right. families, I know, can be a hot topic. For us, we haven't had any issues throughout the 11 years that we've been doing this when it comes to financial wow. stuff. So
yeah.
I don't really, that's not something I can relate to in a blended family situation. But what we concluded was, so like, right, I'm trying to think of how to explain this. So let's say her return trip. So like when she's flying from visiting her dad to flying back to me, I book that flight.
Okay.
And I book it. And then we just, and then like when she flies to him, he books that flight. And then we obviously exchange information on those flights. And then we have kind of guidelines. We touch
base. I love that system.
About the time. And one thing that we do is like the way it's written out is like the first day of, I guess, the trip.
Okay.
For that visit, that's deemed a travel day.
Okay.
So like I know that on, you know, doesn't the first Saturday time. After school ends, she's traveling that day. So I pretty much keep that day open. And I know, but I know pretty well in advance when, what time her flight's going to be. So that's how we handle it. And
that is such a great system because you almost don't have to communicate as much. And I think that that would help a lot of people. Because that's hard. So for example, I was on the phone booking a plane ticket this last trip and I am like frantically texting her stepmom. I'm like, so we call the airlines and it says they, you know, there's the wait time and they're going to have to call you back between 2.5 hours. I was like, oh my gosh. Okay. So 2.5 hours later, I get the call and I'm literally texting your stepmom. Does this flight work? Because so basically you can't look online when you're booking an unaccompanied minor fee, because I can't tell what the latest connection is. So there are all of these different rules that you have to follow when you're booking with an unaccompanied minor fee. So if she has a layover, it has to be, it can't be the last one of the night. And there are certain hub cities and, you know, she can't be on the, I want to say there, I don't know. There are just so many rules. And so you can't look online for flights, basically. At least that's how it's been for me. Like, I will have an idea of a flight that I think she can get on and I'll call and they'll say, nope, she can't be on that one or whatever for some reason. And so as soon as I get on the phone with them, I basically have to just say, this is the date range. This is the price range. Can you look? Can you find anything within this? And it's almost like a shot in the dark. And so when they give me an answer that works, I'm literally just texting your stepmom as they're on the phone and I'm like, can you hold on a minute? And then I text her stepmom and I didn't hear back. And I was like, I'm just going to book it because most airlines do have a 24-hour refund. And so I went ahead and booked it. And I did finally hear back from her stepmom that everything was good, but it's so much pressure in that moment. And so I love what you do. I love that you actually book just the one, like your one way that you're responsible for. So that's really cool.
Yeah. That I feel like has really smoothed out the process. Like, gosh, I'm pretty sure most of her travel, I believe, is booked through her flight back to go for next school year.
Wow. So that far in advance.
Right. Like, actually, just like 2 days ago, I looked on, so I know you were asking about tips and tricks.
Yeah.
One of those was just the schedule, being very, like, clear about when travel days are going to be. We don't date them. They're just based off of the school schedule.
Right.
And then obviously if things come up, we are flexible, because I know when you first establish like that type of schedule, it's easy to want to stick to that only. Yeah. But, you know, we've become flexible in the fact that like most of the travel times typically are during break.
Yeah.
And so there's a cost difference there.
For sure.
And so, you know, this year, I think her break is going to be extended like 2.5 days because the costs are less expensive for her to fly back then. And then, being flexible on both ends is really important. And then just really paying attention to when airlines release their calendars. So like, for instance, right now, Southwest, I believe, you can only book through August 10th. So, like, I'm waiting for their calendar to extend to book that next trip.
Yeah.
And then also, like, utilize, like, this is a financial decision you have to make for your own family. But are you going to utilize points?
Right.
You can.
Oh, those frequent flyer miles add up.
Right. And actually, one thing I discovered is that airlines allow you to make two separate accounts
I didn't know that. That's really cool.
for one. Right. So that is an option. You do have to call and like
Yeah.
work that out. But as far as that, I mean, that's been efficient for us and our circumstances.
Yeah.
Before I forget, at some point I just want to cover like what it looks like to drop an unaccompanied minor up and pick them up.
Yeah. No, go ahead. Absolutely. Because I'm picking Ellie Kate up this weekend. And so it's funny because I will say this too. I know I'm so excited, but our airport here in Idaho is different than the airport in Utah. And normally we drive down to Utah because it's a bigger airport. We can get better flights, we get better deals, we get to see family while we're there. So there are a couple different reasons why we normally fly her in and out of Utah. But this last time, so I guess it was last summer, we flew her out and it was totally different. So I would love to hear what your experience is and compare it to mine, because I guess it depends on where you're at, which is such an interesting thing. Like, I was surprised. So tell me how it is when you drop your daughter off.
Well, in hindsight now, I've dropped her off now from, I've dropped her off at three different
Okay.
airports, depending on like the
Yeah.
circumstance and where we were at for that particular flight. And I've picked her up from three different airports.
Okay. Yeah.
So more of that had to do with the fact that like if it's, I think like last summer, here's an example of flexibility. We she spends the first 2 weeks with us before she flies to spend the rest of the summer
Right.
with her dad, and we flew to visit my parents on the West Coast. So her flight
Okay.
to her dad was from that airport
Gotcha.
where we were at visiting my family, as opposed to the airport here. So he what he did, because I think at the time we weren't sure. I didn't have everything lined up. So he booked what would have been a normal flight from where we live
Gotcha.
to him. And then what I did was he gave me the itinerary and then I adjusted it.
Okay.
So I adjusted the flight. So like that's an example of if you're uncertain and flexibility and uncertainty and ways to work
Yeah.
through that. But as far as drop off go, you the one thing though is the process is you're gonna have to park, you walk
You wait
in,
forever.
whatever airline you're
And I literally bawl my eyes out
yeah.
every time. I sit there and look out the window and it's torture. It's the worst. But yes.
I know it's so you go and you check in at the
Yeah.
counter. Some airlines have specific counters that you go to, like JetBlue has their own area, and then obviously you bring your forms of ID as if you're gonna
Right.
go
And go through security and everything.
on
Yeah.
a yeah. It's always so funny though. I like, do you ever feel awkward because you have no
Yes. Oh,
luggage?
yeah.
Like
Every time I'm like, I travel light. So funny. Yeah, it
right?
feels really weird to go in without anything and yeah, go through the security line with just your wallet.
And then they give you a
Yeah.
gate pass so you can accompany them through security, walk them to the gate, and then you wait for them to board. And then all airlines I've experienced, their policy is that you
Yeah.
wait until
Take off.
they've
Yep.
told you that the flight is in the air.
And
So,
that is brutal. It literally is, I'm not kidding you, probably the worst 30 minutes sitting there just waiting because, yeah, and to me, just speaking to that, like, I feel like it's so fresh. Like, she was just here. And, like, I don't want to get emotional right now, but, like, walking back to my car alone is, I'm not kidding you, it's the worst part. And then getting into my car and like her drink is still there or her snack is still there or whatever. And it's like she feels like she was still right there with me. And that transition for me is hands down the hardest thing every single time. And it's such a trigger and it just feels like it's never going to get easier because you lose them all over again every single time. So, yeah, anyway, That being said, though, picking them up is the best experience ever. And what's interesting is that this is what I'll say about maybe this Idaho airport being really weird is I got there 30 minutes before her flight was supposed to land, which is usually plenty of time to go through security and everything. And that's pretty normal. And they said when I got there that they couldn't give me a ticket to go through security, and because it was within 30 minutes or something, within an hour, I don't even remember. So the gate agent or the unaccompanied minor agent that helps the kids, she actually brought her out to like past security. So walked her all the way through the airport by her. Yeah. Isn't that weird? And walked her past where, yeah, like, you know, where there's that line where it says you can't turn around if you pass this line.
Yeah. Like, yes, to baggage, basically
all the way out. And I've never experienced that before, but it was actually really nice because I could wait there with the kids and with Matt, because normally you only get one gate pass. So like one ticket through security. So I would have to go in by myself. And so we all waited and we had, you know, balloons and Nelly, and it was so exciting for us to just sit there and pick her up. And yeah, but normally, so I guess this would probably be your experience, right? Is you go back through security to pick them up and you wait right there. And normally they come right off the plane and give you a hug, like right there.
Yeah. Well, it's always like the longest wait in the world because
the last ones
up until like recently when she became young traveler, which that's a whole nother avenue of as far as like checking in goes.
Yeah.
Which I'll get to that in a second. But like there's some airlines, like you literally sign for them. Like you sign and you show your ID and like so that's a process you have to go through picking up unaccompanied. But with her being a young traveler now, she just walks off. Like she usually
and you don't go through security to
one
pick
of the
her
things
up then.
We do. Oh no, I can still do that. I believe I haven't asked them when I can't do
I
that
I feel
anymore,
like they should always let you do that. Like it should be flexible enough. I don't know why Boise, this airport, didn't let me do it this last time. I was a little frustrated.
Yeah, I've never heard of that happening.
So
but one of the things we do for her is we favor Southwest for her travel and try to pick, I mean, pretty much I would say 99% of her flights when she's been unaccompanied minor have been direct.
Which is amazing.
Like this most recent trip was her first ever layover because most of the airlines only allow you to do direct flights for unaccompanied minors. Southwest actually has the lowest cost.
See, and we can't ever book through Southwest, and that's the worst because I want to.
I know. I feel like we've had this conversation. Yeah. But I mean, I think this really only applies if you do book a flight with Southwest, you can purchase early bird check-in.
Okay.
That way, because once they're not an unaccompanied minor and they're a young traveler, you have to check
that's
in like normal, like for the ABC boarding. So that gets her a proper boarding spot and without having to worry about, I'm going to be online 48
that's
hours before to get her a boarding spot.
No, I love that. And I love that that's a good tip because we normally fly Delta and literally all we do is they just say, does she want a window or an aisle? Which I will say she's always on an aisle because I want her to be right there by the flight attendant and I want to know exactly what she's doing at all times. And they put a little wristband on them and it's like they have a barcode and they swipe the barcode and it's like, yep, this is her. And it's just really seamless. And I love that. And I love that it has become so familiar, I guess, for all of us to be in a position where that helps a lot. And I think it helps with, as you know, as time goes on and as they get older, I think it just gets easier. So
definitely. Like I would say it has gone seamlessly, other than like one time, not the actual flights themselves. It was the night before she was going to travel. And another tip, always sign up for text notifications for your
Oh
flight.
no.
Because we do that on both ends. Her, I got it to, it was like 9 o'clock at night. And this is when we were visiting my
Okay.
family on the West Coast. And she was flying to her dad's the next morning, and they were 2 hours ahead of us, so it was really late. I get a text and it's like, your flight such and such has been canceled.
No.
You've now been
Oh my
booked
God.
on this flight departing at this time. And she was
Oh my gosh.
she was 12, so they could do
Right?
that. And it was a flight, like, I don't remember if I had one or two layovers, and I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So I called and I called, and like I got them on the phone, and I was like, what are my options? And then we had to talk through whether we were ready or not to have her,
Yeah.
do a layover. And we ended up deciding to postpone her travel by a
Okay.
day so she could have a direct
That
flight.
reminds me, because they
And
do
so
have systems, right? The
that
airlines, if something like that happens and that comes up, I want to say I've asked about that before, because that being said, like, we normally fly Ellie Kate out over Christmas break. And when she flies in and out of Utah, a lot of the time she'll fly through Denver, which has the worst weather. And a lot of the time flights get canceled. And I'm sure so many people have horror stories like that they could share about it. But really, the worst thing is that the airlines take care of it. You know, I mean, it's like, it's stressful in the moment. And it really, like, it gave me a ton of anxiety. There was one year where, my mom was actually flying with her. And so it was, again, she wasn't an unaccompanied minor ticket. So I think maybe that's kind of similar to what you were saying with your daughter. It was like, because they're not as an unaccompanied minor, it's almost like they fall victim to, like, okay, this flight got canceled. And so what do you do now? And my mom had to drive. So she was in Florida and literally had to drive from Florida to Atlanta to get Ellie Kate back to us. Like, it was like 8 hours. It was insane. And it was like the only, I don't even remember. It was such a blur. I just remember it was on my birthday. And so I was like bawling and I'm like, I'm not going to see her. She can't come out. Or I was thinking, so we ended up actually, what we did was we booked a different flight with a different airlines. Luckily we had purchased flight protection on the other one. So we got a refund on the one that was canceled, but then I called Delta and I was like crying and I'm like, please let me book this ticket. Tell me what the cheapest one. And so we ended up just buying her a straight flight from Atlanta to Salt Lake instead of having her layover in Denver like she had planned on. But yeah, it was like, I think even with the worst case scenario, if she had been an unaccompanied minor, they would have taken care of it. So that's one of those things that it's like you live and you learn. But yeah, so I really want to talk really quickly on transitioning, because this is another one of those things with long distance visitation, especially like Ellie Kate this weekend is coming out. There's a time difference. She's only going to be here for a week, which is a long time, but there were moments in our visitation where she would be traveling back and forth over just a quick weekend. Like, she would only be gone for 4 days or something, and that's intense. And so I want to talk about adjusting and time differences. And like, we choose to only fly out for long breaks because those quick weekend trips were always hard. But what do you do for your daughter? Do you have her, does she do the quick weekend trips, or is she normally just doing a long break?
So, I guess since we've been on both ends of this
Yeah.
spectrum of this, where the first year she was traveling to us for her breaks,
Yeah.
and at that time we kept it to like
Right.
longer breaks, and if there were shorter time frames, I
Yes,
flew out
exactly.
there to see her, and then now it's the opposite.
Okay.
And let's see, there's an hour time difference currently. And then, but before there was a 3 hour time difference. So when she would fly out here for long visits, like, I don't know, a long visit was, I don't
Right.
know, 8 days,
Yeah.
8 to 10 days, depending on that particular break. It was tough because it was like the
Yeah.
first 24 hours was her adjusting. And then, you know, by the time she was adjusted, it was time to ramp up to return. So tried to be conscious of what we planned, how much we planned, you know, trying not to pack too much into the time frame. But, you know, still making it quality. And I think this speaks
to really anyone who, anytime you switch kids back and forth, regardless of whether it's long distance or not, you're going to have time in between to transition. And I really think that having a system helps a lot, and scheduling and making sure, and I'm not a scheduling person. I'm not the type of person who ever wants to be like stuck into doing one thing. But I feel like the routine is so important for the kids. And so something that we've always done with Ellie Kate is every time I'm sitting in the airport with her, or if I fly out there to see her and I'm sitting in the car waiting to, you know, meet up with stepmom or whoever's meeting me to drop off or pick up, we always do affirmations. And it's one of those things that I want her to have on her heart is the last memory that she's had with me. And it helps me transition too, because I feel like I want her to go and feel really empowered with her situation and know that she is strong and she is loved and she is smart and she is kind and she is funny and all of these things, because I want to make the most of those last moments. And I think that that has helped me a lot. And it's helped her, because I think that a lot of kids, I also don't feel like I show that sadness emotion until she actually leaves. I think it's really important that you almost be, more stoic, and not stoic, but just like help them be excited, like give them the opportunity to be excited to go back to their other family instead of making them feel guilty or feel bad about it. And because I think that really it's all up to you to navigate that for your kids and to make sure that it's a good experience. And I will say this, I was actually listening to a podcast the other day, and it was John Acuff, and he was talking about how he travels a lot for work. And so his wife actually mentioned that like he was putting all of this guilt on his kids, and he was expressing like all of this sadness, and he was handing that guilt to his kids and making it really dramatic. Because the thing is, like, those, like, your kids don't know that this is supposed to be a sad time. Like, they don't understand that. They're going to just reflect what you're feeling. And so if they don't have that, but you're showing them how they should react in this situation. So whether it's just for the weekend or whether it's long distance visitation or whatever, I feel like one of those good practices is to just reflect onto your kid the emotions that you want them to remember. And that's not sadness. That's happiness and joy and love. And literally as soon as she walks onto that plane, I lose it and I cry and it's terrible. But while I'm with her, we're doing affirmations and I'm telling her how much I love her. And we're doing things that are really special, and that time is really sacred for me to connect with her. And I'm letting her be excited about going back to her other house just as much as I'm excited to have her back, because I know that on the other end of the plane they're going to be picking her up just as excited as I was to pick her up. So I think, you know, that's such an important thing to remember. And yeah, so I'm really excited. I cannot wait to see Ellie Kate this weekend. And so thanks, Megan, for jumping on the podcast. I've got you guys, I want you to follow her on Instagram. She is at Hello Megan Jane. I will tag her when this goes live. But yeah, thank you so much, Megan, for being on and answering those questions. And Combo Moms, I hope you guys got some good information about long distance visitation, and we will see you next time.
Thank you for tuning in. We will be releasing a new episode of Season 1 every week. You can subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you enjoyed this episode, please give us a 5-star review. You can also follow us on Instagram at Our Splendid Life and at Millennial Stepmom.